if you're doing science fair, I just want to say that choose a topic that you're passionate about, because you want your topic to shine. You know, you want it to relate to you. You want your project to be a part of you for more than just science fair. Like through your entire life, you want to have that project that in your mind and in your heart, and like something that you're really passionate about, and you want to work for it, and you know, you'll push your limits to make your project be successful.
Welcome all to this special episode of the Why to How podcast, where we explore adventures in STEM. After an absolutely incredible virtual Candlewide Science Fair a few weeks ago, it was clear that you all wanted to hear more from our Platinum and Best Project Award winners. So over the next few weeks, I'll be catching up with them all to learn more about their Science Fair projects and the adventures they've had along the way. Today, I'm joined by Calvin Karthik, a grade 9 student from Peterborough and our Discovery Best Project Award winner at Candlewide Science Fair 2021 for his project, A Mighty Mushroom and the Power of Poop, testing biogas production using spent mushroom substrate phase 2. I've got plenty of questions, and I asked our wonderful community for question suggestions as well, so without further delay, let's get into it. Calvin, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thank you.
Of course. Thanks for being here. Did you want to start us off by introducing yourself a little bit and briefly explaining what your project is about?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Calvin Karthik, and I'm a grade 9 student from Kenner Collegiate in Peterborough. And so my project, like I said, was called A Mighty Mushroom and the Power of Poop, Testing Biogas Production Using Spent Mushroom Substrate. So my project was all about biogas. So what is biogas? So biogas is this gas produced by anaerobic digestion, which means the breaking down of matter in a space that is anaerobic, so that has no oxygen. So this biogas is produced, and this gas can be used to produce fuel. So my project was all about this fuel. So this clean and renewable and sustainable gas, it can even replace fossil fuels, which means that it can reduce greenhouse gas emissions, which in turn could give us more time to plan out a clean, renewable, and sustainable fossil fuel-free future. So the production from biogas from organic waste is really important to our society because of its potential role in waste management. And also, as organic waste decomposes, they produce large amounts of methane. So methane is a very, very potent greenhouse gas that traps heat in the atmosphere many more times than carbon dioxide. So to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and the risk of pollution, this organic waste can be reduced and the gas from the organic waste can be reduced and redirected to produce usable fuel. So my experiment, I did it in two phases over 2 years, and I tested the biogas production from different manures when combined with spent mushroom substrate, which is an agricultural byproduct from mushroom cultivation. So I chose SMS because this organic material is already delignified, which means that because of the mushroom's growth on the substrate, the spent mushroom substrate is already broken down into simple sugars, which can be accessed by the microbes in anaerobic digestion to produce biogas quicker and in larger quantities. So utilizing these two waste products is really vital to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, mainly because of harnessing the energy of the methane from these manures and redirecting it into biogas, and also taking this spent mushroom substrate, because for every 1 kilogram of mushrooms produced, it produces actually 5 kilograms of spent mushroom substrate. So then this is a really big waste product that's been usually just going to landfills or used in it's used as animal feed. So yeah, so utilizing these two waste products. And so basically I did my project in two phases. So in phase one, I did three trials, and overall I found that the combination of cow dung plus sheep manure and spent mushroom substrate produced the most biogas, and also that spent mushroom substrate increased biogas yield in all the slurries that I added it to. So in phase two, I did the same approach, but added a little bit more to it. So I was actually testing biogas production from foreign manures. So those were pig manure, horse manure, sheep manure, and cow manure. So I tested these four, and two of them were monogastric manures, meaning that they have a different digestive system than the others, which were ruminant manures. So I tested both of them, and in the end, I found that ruminant manures produce more biogas than monogastric manures when combined with spent mushroom substrate, and monogastric manures produce more when none of them weren't combined with spent mushroom substrate. So alone, monogastric manures produced more, and then with spent mushroom substrate, ruminant manures produce more. But yeah, it was a really interesting find. And also, I found out that correlating with my phase one results, that SMS increased in the slurries that I tested. That SMS increased the biogas production. So yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I really do like the concept of sort of like the circular economy approach where, you know, waste not, want not, almost. I like the idea of finding something that is usually just a waste product and finding another use for it. So then obviously the next big question I have for you then, and this I guess ties to a community question we get, which is, where did your idea come from? But what specifically about spent mushroom substrate, SMS, what about it in particular caught your eye and made you think, oh, if I add that to the typical biogas production, it actually might be more effective?
Yeah, so I got the idea of incorporating spent mushroom substrate because after I was in the, you know, like the realm of biogas and I was researching about it, I came across like other waste products that can be used in spent, like used for biogas production. And like, usually it's just like, because actually my grandparents in India, when I went to visit back in 2018, they had a small backyard biogas plant, and every 6 months they would put in a little bit of manure, or not a little bit, they would put in some manure. And then every day they would put in their kitchen scraps, and they would produce biogas for forever, and until they had to put in some more manure. So, and yeah, that's, I got into the idea of biogas, and I did some research, and I was like, is there any better substrates to use other than just kitchen scraps that can produce more biogas and it's environmentally friendly? And then I came across spent mushroom substrate, and what really caught my eye in spent mushroom substrate was that spent mushroom substrate has a little property called delignification. So that, like I explained it, but it was in general, it's just that the substrate is already partially broken down into simple sugars, because in the plant cell wall, the plant cell wall is made up of hemicellulose, cellulose, and lignin. So lignin bonds cellulose and hemicellulose, and in order to access the simple sugars, the lignin needs to be broken down from cellulose and hemicellulose. So the mushroom's mycelium actually does that by secreting enzymes. So that's already completed. So what it's actually doing is, you don't need to wait as long to produce biogas, and it'll produce it in larger quantities because of the nutrition in the spent mushroom substrate also, because spent mushroom substrate is made up of lots of different materials like corn bran, wheat bran, millets, rice bran. So yeah.
So yeah, you're almost using spent mushroom substrate to skip a step in the production of biogas, just going straight to the simple sugars, which then can be assisting the biogas production from the get-go, as opposed to waiting for it to break down. So talk to me a little bit more about this biogas production facility in your grandparents' backyard. Like, describe it to me. What does it look like? How does it work? Like, what sort of power generation is it outputting? And do you have one in your own home now?
Yeah, so my grandparents' biogas, like their small biogas plant in India, it was just like, it was kind of like as big as a small water tank. Like, it's probably a few... I'm not sure, maybe 100 liters, maybe. I'm not sure. It was a pretty big tank, and they would put their manures into the tank, and they would put their kitchen scraps. And what it was really like, what it looked like, it was that it was just a big tank with this like long kind of tubing kind of, and it had like a big bag kind of. It was like they hooked up the bag to a higher area, so then gas produced would fill up in this bag, and this bag was, it was connected to their kitchen stove, and they could run their stove for about an hour, and they would produce biogas, and they would use it to For cooking and everything. And it was super useful for them because it's like money management, and it's overall like helping the environment too. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I can see a very direct link then between the way you've tested throughout your project is you're using water bottles with a balloon taped to the top. That is just a smaller version of a big tank with a bag on top, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I went from like the in phase one to using balloons, and then coming up with better methods like the water displacement method in trial three and phase two.
So then how did you learn about all of this biogas production? Like where did you go to for sources of information? Like how did you find, I mean, I guess you're not learning about spent mushroom substrate at school. You're not learning about biogas production probably and the ins and outs of it at school. So how did you figure all of that out?
Yeah. So actually I had like a lot of mentors that helped me and stuff. So there's like, Mrs. Amanda McInnes, she was my elementary school teacher, and she helped me last year work on the project, and also this year too, she was helping a lot. And also my other mentor, Dr. Neil Emery, he's from Trent University, and Trent University, yeah, so, and also his wife, Jill Emery, is also a great help too. But yeah, so these mentors, they helped me a lot with like the project design and all this. But I also contacted last year a lot of these mushrooms professors and all these different people, like Dr. Danny Lee Rinker, who's a retired mushrooms professor in the University of Guelph, and Dr. David Meigs Bayer and Dr. Barry J. McAuliffe. And yeah, so I had some conversations with them, and we talked about like biogas and incorporating spent mushroom substrate and all that.
Nice. And when you say you contacted them, what does that look like? Talk to me a little bit about what it is you actually did to contact them. Like, were you sending emails? Were you just cold calling them? Friends of friends of friends? Or how did you find them? How did you contact them?
Well, actually, my my very generous mentor, Amanda McInnes from last year, she was like doing a bunch of research for like all these mushrooms professors, and we saw all these professors, and we're like, maybe we can get in touch with them and ask them a few questions. So she emailed them for me, and she got me and the professors in touch. And then we had like, we exchanged emails, and we would email each other. And yeah, so I just gave them a list of questions, you know?
Yeah.
Like, how does this work? What is this? You know? So yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Reaching out to people that are professionals in the field is a little bit more effective, you'd think, than trying to Google and work your way through, you know, pages and pages of Google results.
Yeah.
So then what's next for biogas production based on what you found? So obviously you found that adding, you know, SMS makes it more effective for some types of manure and not so much for the other type. Like, where do we go from here? Is this something that you think will become hopefully commercial knowledge?
Yeah. So, I really want to give some of my project reports, but like a simplified version of it, to a lot of the mushroom farmers and animal farmers that I got my manure from and my spent mushroom substrate from, and just like give it to them and talk to them about these sustainable ways to initially clean up their farms and to produce biogas and maybe even a bit of money, you know, because there's always the factor of can I earn some money from like adding value to these manures that could be used in spent mushroom stuff, like for in biogas production. So yeah, I really want to introduce them to my project and all these new ways to clean up the environment and produce fuel. And I also want to, like, directly on my project, I want to like test the composition of the spent mushroom substrate, because all spent mushroom substrates are all different, like from wherever you get it from, there is different ingredients to make these substrates, and different mushrooms grew on these substrates, and it's a lot of factors that affect that. So I want to test the spent mushroom substrate I use, and I also thought of testing bacteria removal using an autoclave to see how that works, like what bacteria is there, if bacteria is really the reason for this biogas. So yeah, other than that, I also want to near future, maybe I want to build like a small prototype biogas plant, maybe in my backyard, and I can try, I don't know, hooking it up to my oven and seeing if it works.
Nice. I mean, I'm sure your parents will be happy not to have manure on the kitchen table, which is what it looked like in some of your project photos. So
yeah,
can move that outside to a facility, I'm sure they'd love it.
Yeah.
How did you go about finding farmers as well to both collect manure and also collect spent mushroom substrate? I mean, I'm sure that's a weird conversation for a grade 9 student to just have with a random farmer, just being like, hey, can I have some of your manure? Like,
Yeah. So I initially just like just researched all these farms in my area, and like the cow, like to find the cattle farms, that was pretty easy. Like I can just research, like, is there any cattle farms near me on Google, and it'll show me a few. But the mushrooms farms were a bit tougher because there's not a lot in my area, and there's also that I need the specific mushrooms to be grown in my area too. So I went a bit further out to get the mushrooms, but initially I just told them, like, this is my project and I'm doing this for science fair. And they're like, they were super nice. And they're like, yeah, sure. Like, come over, I don't know, come over next weekend and we'll have like a bucket of manure for you. they gave it to me in like these buckets. They would fill buckets of manure using a shovel. And it was, they were like super nice. And it was really nice. They were super kind to give me the manure.
Yeah. Did they have questions for you? Like when you said you were just doing this for science fair, I'm sure they wanted to know sort of what was up, what was going on.
Yeah. They had lots of questions. Yeah. They would like ask me like, oh, it's like, that's so cool. Like, where are you going to do it? Or what are you going to like actually, like what are you going to do with this? Like, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah. So yeah. But like, initially they just asked, they kind of just asked for like a small overview of my project and like what I'm trying to do. And yeah,
good practice summarizing your project and presenting it to the public before you've even started, right?
Yeah.
So then along the way, I'm sure you had plenty of mishaps and plenty of challenges. Did you want to talk about some of the ones that you had to overcome to get to the end of phase two?
Yeah, so actually in phase two, I bought all the manure and all of the spent mushroom substrate. Like my parents, like my dad went out to, I think it was Baileyboro, Lindsay, or yeah, I think it was Baileyboro. But yeah, he went out further to go get some manure. And also my mentor helped me, Miss McKinnis. She also contacted a few people for the horse manure and pig manure. So he went out to go get these manures. And on the day that we got them, we're like, okay, so I can start the experiment today, and I can start, you know, testing and start measuring every day. But yeah, so it took the entire day. It was from morning to nighttime. I was me and my parents, because my parents obviously helped me a lot with my project. They were super helpful. They would go out and get me manures, buy the bottles and everything. So yeah, so I finished making my digesters and I was ready. But in the nighttime when I set them up and they were all done, there's 33 digesters and there's 99 bottles in total. So there's a lot of preparation. By the time it was nighttime, I woke up in the morning and all of the water, it was already producing biogas. It was displacing water, but the water actually displaced all around the bottles and it didn't actually go into the displacement bottle. So into the collection bottle. So all of the water was displaced all on the ground and I had to restart and I had to reseal the bottles and do a lot more precautions the next time I did it. So yeah, it took me the entire next day to get all the manures in and fill up the bottles. Like the worst part was, you know, like doing the pig manure, because pig manure was the worst. Like it was slimy and sticky. Oh, the smell was the worst though. Like it was bad. My favorite manure is probably horse manure. It's like nice. It was like round and it looked nice. I don't know if that's weird to say, but
I mean, not many grade 9 students have been saying that on a podcast, I'm sure. But
yeah.
Only at science fair.
Yeah.
So was this all set up in the kitchen? Like where are you doing all of these testings? How did your parents bear the smell of it all the time? I mean, I'm sure that's a challenge in and of itself.
Yeah. So I did it in my parents' washroom, like in the master bedroom. So it was like It was like the biggest washroom that we had, and I wanted like a smaller room to control the heating as well as possible. So, so it was set up there, and my parents didn't have their washroom for a month because of the second time we had to go around in preparation and all of that. So, yeah, they couldn't use their washroom, and there wasn't much smell because everything was like completely sealed. So it was just, it was really warm in there. Like I had to wear like beach clothing in the winter. I was doing it because it was 30 to 40 degrees in there, 35 to 40 degrees. So it's Celsius. So it was really hot. So yeah, I did it in that bathroom, and it took a while, but it was worth it.
I mean, if there's any parents listening to this episode, both Calvin's and just anyone's, any science fair parents out there, can I just say, we truly and deeply appreciate the sacrifices you go through for your child science fair project. Why couldn't I just have like a normal kid, but instead I've got bottles of poo in my washroom. Of course. Can you describe for us what it felt like when you received, you know, your award at Canada White Science Fair? What did it feel like when you knew that all of your hard work had paid off?
Basically me and my regional science fair, so the Peterborough Regional Science Fair, and all of the students that went to Canada White, we were on a meeting, and we were all like dressed up wearing our science fair things and all that, and we were watching the award ceremony, and they were calling out names, and then they called out my like the awards that I got, and I was like, wow, like I was super impressed. I was like, okay, this is worth it. Like, you know? Yeah. So, but then by the time it was the top of fair award, I was like, I was like, there's 500 kids. Like there's a lot of competition here. And then my name got called out, and like, I couldn't breathe for a few seconds, you know, my heart was pounding like super hard. Like I could hear it in my eardrums, and it was breathtaking, you know, like it's not everybody gets the opportunity to even be in the Canada White Science Fair. Like that's such a big opportunity and such a big deal. So yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations. Truly. Like what an absolutely impressive result. So, I mean, besides winning an award, What's your favorite part about, you know, doing science fair projects? You know, not specifically Canada White Science Fair, but just in general, like why should anyone be doing science fair projects on top of, you know, an already busy teenage life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, science fair projects is like, it's such a great opportunity. I think like this, you meet so many great people and all these, like-minded peers, and, I just think it's so great to actually get feedback from your judges and to actually have the experience of talking to judges who like initially are trying to mark you on things, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, they're like marking you on how well you're doing, and I just think it's like so great that I actually had the experience to talk in front of this panel of judges, and I feel like in the end, doing a STEM project is all pros. Like there's no cons of doing it. Like other than like maybe missing a few nights, but that all leads up to the big prize, the whatever you were waiting for, it's gonna come true, you know. Mm-hmm. Anything can happen in science fair.
Yeah, absolutely. It does. Yeah, anything can happen. And speaking of anything can happen, what comes next for you? What do you dream of being when you're older? You're a biogas engineer or what?
Yeah, so I'm really interested in like the STEM field and like going into universities that have that give out you know, STEM programs and all these things. And yeah, I think my future job opportunities I would really love to be an engineer. Like that would be super awesome for me to build things and to, you know, to design. I think it's awesome.
It's a good combination of a lot of different skills, and it seems like you're well on the way to developing a lot of them already. That's a short.
Yeah.
So then, super easy question for you. Why is STEM important?
STEM? Yeah. So STEM's important. I mean, initially because of like, you need your critical thinking skills. Like that gives you a lot of critical, like you need to, it gives you the experience of using these skills. And I think it instills like a passion for your innovation. And it's going to be with you your entire life. And it's like, not just like, it, like the passion for innovation, like it's beyond your learning. Like it's going to be there for your problem solving and like your explanatory learning and stuff. Yeah. And also it brings like these huge mental habits, right? Like, you'll be ready to face these big situations when your time comes, I don't know, your job interviews and all that, you'll have all this experience that behind your back, you know, you did science fair, like, woohoo, you can do this. Yeah, right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So then is there like one key learning you're taking away from your whole science fair experience, your science project experience, something that over the last 2 years you look back and you're like, yeah, that's like the one thing that I'm super grateful for.
Yeah. It's definitely my time management skills trying to balance out an equal amount of school, science fair, and sleep, you know, you have to, you know, like, from three o'clock to 6 o'clock is schoolwork, from 6 to 11:30 is science fair. And yeah, so, I just feel like super useful skill that I've learned from science fair is how to manage my time.
Like that meme where, you know, there's three options, you can only choose two.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So then like the last big question I guess I have for you then is, do you have advice for people looking to get in science fair, getting involved in science fair this year coming?
Yeah. So if you're doing science fair, I just want to say that, choose a topic that you're passionate about, because you want your topic to, shine, you know, you want it to relate to you. You want your project to be a part of you for more than just science fair, like through your entire life. You want to have that project that in your mind and in your heart, something that you're really passionate about, and you want to work for it, and you know, you'll push your limits to make your project be successful. So yeah,
I couldn't think of a better way to possibly end this conversation. What an amazing message to end on. Calvin, thank you so much for joining me. This has been absolutely fantastic. What an incredible achievement you've had over the last 2 years. What a fantastic project. What a great idea. What a cool story. You've had plenty of adventures in STEM, you know, of course. So thank you so very much for joining. Literally,
thank you.
Everyone, if you have already even, go check out his project again on Project Board. It'll be linked in the show notes to this episode or in the description if you're watching on YouTube. Leave some comments, share the love, let Calvin know just how impressed you are with all the amazing work that he has done. It's been truly such a great time spent here with you today, Calvin. And I honestly, I wish you all
Thank
the best.
You.
I wish you all the best for everything you have planned for the next couple of years. You know, I can't wait to see photos of your backyard biogas production facility. I can't wait to see where you take the SMS and figuring out exactly what composition you should be looking for. And yeah, can't wait to see you change the world with biogas being our next big thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great talking to you. It's an awesome podcast. Like, Science Fair is awesome. Like, I don't know how else to put it. It's amazing.
Science Fair,
you know,
is awesome. We need that on a t-shirt. Science Fair is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for everyone else, we'll have another amazing guest for you all on the next episode, so please stay tuned. And until then, everyone, have a wonderful day and stay curious. Bye.
Bye.